This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Wow. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
It's Lucha Underground, the premiere Lucha Underground after show on the internet. My name is Max. With me, as always, is Travis.
Hey, guys.
It's been a minute. It's been... How long has it been?
I feel like it was... Did it end in July of last year? Has it been almost a year?
Whole year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It feels longer.
Yeah. Well, I thought it felt shorter, but then I was looking through the screeners, and I saw the actual air dates for the last ones, and it was, July.
A fun note for longtime fans, we got access to advanced screeners last year.
We did.
And this year, I emailed El Rey to be the network that makes the show.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey... Just seeing if we're going to have access to those screeners again. And they wrote me back being like, can you remind me who you are and what show you work on? And I was so embarrassed I didn't write back.
No.
I will, though.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that. Like, I told you, we still have access to the screeners.
Yeah, I noticed.
So I went on and I watched an episode. Maybe we'll get to it at some point here. I watched an episode of Man at Arms Art of War yesterday. Just in the background while I was playing Stardew Valley.
I wasn't.
Stardew Valley's great.
No. Nobody cares about that.
I'll get into it. Maybe that'll be our because I yeah. We'll save it.
Come back
after the break. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. Wow. This thing opens up with a nice long recap, and there's so much stuff that I had completely forgotten about.
Do we have news and notes? Are we going to, because it's been so long. I mean, there's tons, but
off the top of my head, Johnny Mundo and Taya got married.
Yeah.
In real life.
Yeah. I saw some of, Melissa Santos's Instagram. She was showing some speeches. The Miz had a great speech.
The Miz.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
looked like a lot of fun. Looked like a good bunch of people. Everybody was having a good time. Not so like you didn't see any of the, kind of wrestling personas or like kind of. It seemed like it was all like legit people who were legit liked each other. You know what I mean? That's all you hope for.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What else happened? That's it.
Well, there was that. Like, did you ever watch that? Did you watch the Impact Lucha Underground matches?
The
crossover.
Didn't.
I did not either. I keep trying to remind myself to check it out, but it sounded like it had some good stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh, our beloved friend of the show, Ravenous Randy Myers, is working against Johnny Mundo, or as he's called in this promotion, Johnny Defiance. For Defy Wrestling here in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, so that was pretty cool.
Is that a new? That's news
to come. Yeah, that's okay. Some news. Yeah. So that's cool.
what else? I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
It
was weird. You know, didn't know what to expect in terms of a lot today, especially in terms of like who is going to be there and who wasn't going to be there. Some interesting omissions, some interesting returns.
Well, I think there was lots of people that were not in this episode that are confirmed in this show.
Yeah. Right? Cage was not in this episode.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah.
Cage wasn't there. Taya wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Evans?
No. What's his face? Darewolf.
Yeah, also not there. I wonder, I'm going to have my eye on his fingers.
Yeah, we all will. Just like Harold Lloyd, the great, great silent comedian Harold Lloyd, who lost a finger. We talked about this a long time ago. I know you can't remember.
Dear God. Just like old times.
Yeah. He's not Canadian. He's from Alberta.
Oh, man.
How have you been? Like Max and I haven't really hung out in a long time.
We don't see each other outside of this.
We still talk via text every now and again.
Life has been good, man.
Yeah. Got a new place. We're in a new recording studio.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, life is good. very busy, mm-hmm. but good. I'm trying mm-hmm. to be less busy. And yeah.
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 Basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, same thing. Ups and downs. I posted my last ad where I played a robot. Did you see
oh,
that
yeah.
one? Did you see that one?
It's very disturbing.
It is? But it's good, right? Disturbing in the way it's supposed to be.
I don't know.
You don't think it got the point across?
Oh, yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not critiquing the ad. I'm saying seeing you in that makeup is very disturbing. Anyways. Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. That's the longest I've ever shot in one single day. 13 and a half hours on set in makeup.
All right. Well, the reason why people are here is not for us to
talk about our bullshit.
Exactly. They're here to listen to us talk about Mr. Pectacular.
Exactly. What is the Lucha Afterground fellas' take on this Adonis, this sculpture? This.
How do you feel about the fact that they opened the season with Aztec Warfare?
When I heard about it, I was super jazzed.
Yeah, me too.
I was super excited.
I was like, "This is great. We're gonna see everybody. This will be a great way to be introduced to people."
Yeah, I said aside from the talent that they have helped promote and who have are in a better place now than they were before Lucha Underground,
mm-hmm.
I think Aztec Warfare is the best contribution that Lucha Underground has given to the wrestling world, this template.
Sure. I think,
I know they do it.
But isn't that the Royal Rumble? Isn't that the Royal Rumble?
Yeah,
that
it's not template? Throwing people over the top rope. It's all pinfalls or submission.
That's true. And actually, that's a good point, because you get the variety that the Rumble brings, but you still get to see finishers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Let's get to it.
So,
recap.
I'm out of practice.
No. Okay, man. Let's do this. The recap. That's how it starts. Lucha Underground season 4, episode 1. Hi guys, we missed you. Welcome back.
I'm in a cafe.
Yeah. Oh God, poor bastard. recap. It starts with Dario being let out of jail. This goes back quite a while. Well, that's season 3 or season 2. I gotta remember anyways. Reminds us of the gauntlet and reminds us of the eyeball squish.
Yes.
They remind us of the trios champs with King Cuerno the Mac and Dante Fox.
No.
That's who they remind us of.
No.
They remind
Killshot.
What did I say?
King Cuerno.
King Cuerno, pardon me. Killshot, the Mac, and
Dante Fox.
Dante Fox. They remind us that Pentagon is the new champ, and they mm-hmm. remind us that Dario is dead.
That was... I had forgotten about that.
You've forgotten about Dario being shot.
Do you think that Dario will remain dead for this entire season?
Good question.
Because he's definitely dead now.
Yeah.
When he was in the coffin, I thought maybe his eyes would open or something, you know?
Yeah, who knows? It's comic book rules, right?
Yeah,
Bucky stays dead. Not even Bucky stays dead.
We have to talk about Antonio Cueto.
Yeah. Well, that's our opening scene. It opens with Dario Cueto's funeral. There's basically only two people there. And enter Antonio Cueto.
At this point, I'm feeling very good.
Me too.
About this episode.
Me too.
I'm like
who's this guy?
This is awesome.
This is great.
Yes.
It's the same actor, clearly. Which is...
Playing his...
Father.
Playing his father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wig? Give me your rating on the wig. Give me a 5-star rating on the wig.
On the wig. Okay, well... I need another wig for reference.
Anything Dolly Parton's ever worn.
Oh my God. Those are 5-star wigs.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And this was more like what's a 0-star wig? Like a bad toupee?
Yeah.
Just falling off. It's super obvious.
This was the movie Blow. You know the movie Blow? Yeah. Remember Johnny Depp? That had really bad wigs throughout that film.
This was a 2.5-star
wig. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
But the beard.
Yeah.
That was a real beard.
Yeah, that's a real beard.
And I'm going to give 5 stars to the cataract...
Eyeball. Yes, that's what makes it.
And nice touch on the cane.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Whatever happens with this guy, I don't know yet. I think the verdict is still out on whether or not we like this character as much as we like Dario. But this actor has committed. He's got all the mannerisms. He's doing the mm-hmm. little things as we would expect. I feel like an asshole that we don't know the actor's real name
after all this time. Yeah. I have no idea what this man's name is. Because he inhabits the character well.
He does.
And it's a wrestling thing, you know? Like, I don't know.
Of course.
I don't know the Mac's real name. It's probably Willie Mac.
It probably is. William Mac.
Ironically, it's Mr. Pictacular.
Yeah. That would be crazy.
So I gotta tell you, Trev, when this scene ended, my imagination was totally activated. I was psyched. Yep. Lucha Underground is back.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
All sorts of crazy things are gonna happen.
Here we go. They talk about it. Our friend in the limo, and mm-hmm. I was coming for war. It's like reminding us of all these long threads that they had before. Like, good. Here we go.
Yep. They put I one interesting thing that mm-hmm. stood out for me in this scene is when he was talking about how they couldn't go back to the temple, now they're going to this ice box.
And
they used to have a ton of cerveza there. There was cerveza storage, and they still do.
Yeah, well, you saw the Modelo sign on the
yeah. Do you think that they moved from the temple in order to weave the more seamlessly attempt to weave the Modelo sponsorship in there?
No. I think they moved because they either couldn't afford rent anymore or they don't have access to that facility anymore.
But that. Like, the temple was just an empty warehouse.
Yeah.
And this is just an empty warehouse.
Yeah.
So how... That's probably that they couldn't... Like, the rent must be very similar in these places.
It looks like a smaller capacity. It doesn't look like you have the same amount of fans as you did before.
Hmm.
We know that they have a lower budget this season.
Yeah.
It was noticeable tonight.
I'd say so.
So, yeah, I think they just, this is just damage control part one. And we saw some other damage control as it went on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, we go.
I did want to mention that Dario had ordered a hit on his father. They mentioned in that. Intro.
No, I think Dario's father
had ordered a hit on Dario. Okay.
And that's who Dario was calling. He was trying to call his own dad.
Who had wanted him killed.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
That's a nice little. Tying that knot up, I
sure,
think.
Sure.
And then
we enter the new temple, the ice temple.
the ice temple.
Well, like, I mean, that's what how they had sold it on, who was it? Was it 411 Mania who had the first leaked pictures of it a while back? I thought, okay, this could be cool.
Yeah.
You
know what? I hate the ropes, dude.
Well, I was going to ask you about that.
I hate the ropes.
What? Yeah. Why?
I think it's the Modelo colors.
You might be right.
It doesn't match. It doesn't match.
It looks too professional.
It looks too wrestling.
Yeah.
It looks too 1980s wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It stood out to me, too.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll grow on us.
They're different colors. Why?
Blue, yellow, and blue.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Which has never been a color scheme in anything in Lucha Underground.
Yeah. What I would have liked to have seen is just the temple, but with some blue accents.
Sure.
You could some navy blue ropes. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. White ropes.
Hey, now we're
get out of town. But the yellow and blue, I think that's part of the Modelo thing.
Yeah, you might be right. Yeah, it just feels a little too clean.
It's gonna quit. Yeah. Ugh. I hope that they grow on me.
Yeah.
I hope that they grow on me.
This was totally a kind of meet the new boss kind of thing, but meet the welcome to the new environment that we have here. So it was an adjustment, that's for sure.
I'm very curious to see what the backstage sequences will be like, and mm-hmm. if they will be, you know, because when they would do mm-hmm. it in the temple before, you'd have these places and you start
to learn more about the way it was all laid out and stuff. Like, is there an office there? Is there an office close by for Antonio? Does Antonio need an office, or does he just go and lie down?
Well, where he was popping out, it honestly looked like he even had, like, glass bricks, you know? Which, I kind of like that.
That's cool. If it suits the ice thing.
All right, here's the Modelo. Yeah. Modelo cans and beers.
Blue and yellow. Blue You're and yellow. Right. You're right. I think Modelo you are correct. Blue. Yeah, well, that's it. If you're not getting the cash from somewhere, you got to get it from somewhere
that's
else.
True. And
yeah, it's not the best, but a concession that I guess I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
So we enter the temple, the new ice temple. Opens with a moment of silence, 10 bells for Dario Cueto.
I did like that.
Yeah,
that especially great. Imagine if you're in the audience. Pardon me. God, disgusting. We've always talked about it. But the coolest thing is, like, you can be in the crowd, have no idea what the story is,
mm-hmm.
and you're just learning things for the first time.
Mm-hmm. But so at this point, some time has passed, you would imagine the people there would have known the whole story from one to three.
Sure, but you wouldn't have known that Dario was dead.
Why not?
Well, because he was shot, sure, but seasons, cliffhangers, and things like that, it wasn't confirmed, and then you're there, and it's like, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Anyway, enter Antonio, and he... cuts off the 10 bells, disses the crowd, and tells them that, you know what? We're starting with Aztec warfare.
That's right. And then this really weird thing with the trio's champs.
Yeah. I did want to mention, I like the way, like, I think he even goes to that kind of Spanish, that, and by Spanish, I mean from, like, Spain sort of accent, even further than Dario had. He says, gentlemen, instead of gentlemen. But yeah, he brings out, and here's damage control number two, is I assume Dante Fox is done with the company.
That would be so tragic.
Yep. Yep. That was that when I saw that, you heard me, I said it out loud. I said, fuck. so Mac and Killshot, without Dante Fox.
Like, what is Dante Fox doing? Like, he's got nothing. Might as well.
Mm. AR Fox is doing his thing as AR Fox. I think it's just, look, hey, man, we know a lot of the roster left for a variety of reasons. And I think one of the bigger reasons would be the unsure of the stability of the company.
Right? Yeah, but what else is he doing? It'd be different if he was like, instead I'm going to go to NXT or
something
like that.
I don't know this guy's opportunities. I don't know his cash flow. I'm sure it's not so much about the instability of the company, but as it could be about the direction of the company, right? People are wondering, like, is this going to further my career?
Well, it's not going to hurt your career.
I don't think so. But we don't know the insights of the day to day worries and cares and aspirations and goals or of like any of these guys, right? Or any of the ones who aren't back here today.
Well, but if we don't, you know, we have
talk about it. We don't have this goddamn show. You're right. So we open with he brings out the trio's champs, Mac and Killshot, and says, we're going to bring out your new member, who's the newest trio champ, and out comes Son of Havoc.
Which seemed fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess.
I would have... Honestly, I think this is a perfect spot for Mr. Pectacular. What?
Maybe. I know nothing about this guy. I don't know if he can go or what. So, I think Son of Havoc was a good choice.
You know what? One of the things I really did like about Lucha Underground when I first started is that they would introduce me to performers I had never seen before. So I shouldn't be so hard on Mr. Pectacular.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see what happens. Mm-hmm. But that was the nature of the beast today, is they were just going to throw a ton of shit at us at once, just to kind of, hey, remember us? Don't forget, we're going to start with this really crazy great match that has, for the previous three seasons, has been like one of the season highlights, right? And yeah, I love the idea, like I said before. But anyway, Son of Havoc's named the new trio champ. The three of them got to work together to start this thing off. And Antonio gives the best line read we've seen him give so far.
Ring the bell.
You got it already. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Just so disinterested or just so...
I know.
Just too tired.
There's a lot of...
Honestly, that was one of the highlights of this episode to me.
I think it was the highlight.
Yes.
Ring the bell.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of that in this episode, to be honest.
Ring the bell.
Mm-hmm. It's so... It could be a Muppet.
Yeah.
Ring the bell.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, this is when I noticed the ropes for the first time. I was going to ask you about it, but yeah. I got your thing. And they started banging the drums of war. It felt like 20 seconds in. There was noticeable edits here really early, especially in the first five or six guys. They were just, it felt like they were really kind of speeding things through. To the detriment of whatever it was they were trying to do, I thought.
I would love to go back and watch that first Aztec Warfare and just sort of compare the two. I think it might elicit a little bit more of what just felt off about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember when I first was watching Lucha Underground, not really feeling like, obviously I didn't do a deep dive. I didn't know who the performers were. I mean, I didn't even know who Ricochet was when I was watching that. And watching these guys, I remember it just felt so much smoother, but maybe I was just more captivated and distracted because everybody coming down was so fresh and new.
No.
But man, I don't know. This in a word, I would describe this as janky.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I just think the pacing was the shits. Like, it was like, and it's not that it was like slower any time in parts. It just felt like, God, okay, now this is done. Now this is done. We'll get more into it.
Yeah, this felt, I'm not going to lie, man. This whole, with these ropes and this roster of performers.
Yeah.
And the colors and everything, it really felt like some of those, smaller wrestling federations put out like full shows on YouTube and stuff like that, like wrestling in Hollywood and
which
stuff
isn't
like that.
Necessarily a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing, and not at all, not at all. But
it's just it's an adjustment.
It's such a huge shift.
Yep. Felt different.
Definitely. Like the in-ring aesthetic fit the backstage stuff so well. Now
previously,
feels like there's a that's what I meant, sorry, like in the previous seasons. Now with the change of location, I'm just nervous. I am nervous. How many episodes is this season?
20, I think.
20.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm willing to commit to 20 episodes.
We got this. We
if
got
you told
this,
me 40, oh,
fuck this. So, yeah, anyway, the drums of war start beating. It felt like after 20 seconds of these guys working together. And out comes Joey Ryan. Max was wondering, hey, he doesn't have the handcuffs. But sure enough, he brings one of his trunks. Handcuffs himself. And it feels like before anything else has even happened, the drums of war are banging again. And here comes our new favorite wrestler, Mr. Pectacular. I don't even know what to say about this guy. I can't remember anything he did.
He came in,
he flexed and he looked good.
He flexed, he clotheslined somebody, he drop kicked somebody, and then I believe he was eliminated.
I've got it later here.
You're just a fat piece of trash. Now somebody get this fat trash out of here.
Mr. Pectacular.
The Mac was eliminated early by one of his teammates. And then number six is Pentagon Dark. He enters to a big pop. This is the first time I started to feel the crowd starting to heat up.
Yeah, me too. And even for me too, I was like, wait, do we...
What? Did I skip somebody?
No. You're right. Sorry. Yeah. I confused myself. But yeah, this was for the first time when I was... began to get a little
here's
jazz.
Here's our old friends.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Pentagon, I feel I worry about putting the championship on him, and and when he came out, I was pretty convinced that championship was going to be removed, and that maybe we'll see like the story will be him climbing the mountain again. Anyways,
nope.
Obviously things didn't work out that way.
Nope. Joey releases himself from the cuffs for whatever reason, and then ends up getting pinned by Pentagon Dark immediately. Pentagon Dark, the package pile driver on Killshot. Son of Havoc with a nice shooting star press to eliminate another teammate. So I guess, if anything, they've built up good dissension between these trios, champ.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Why it needs to be Son of Havoc, I don't know.
Because he's a baby face. He's a pure baby face. I don't know who else you would put in that spot from who's left, because I don't really know everybody who's left.
I know. I
mean, right? Maybe Phoenix. Could have been Phoenix, I suppose.
What if it was Tommy Dreamer?
Is he? Well, that's number 7 who enters here now. Yeah. I think he could be a good fit.
Is he even going to be in this beyond this?
I don't know if he will be beyond this. I've never been a Tommy Dreamer fan as a wrestler, because oh man, God, you hear these stories about Neil. Did you ever hear the story about how he wanted a sniper to take a shot at him in the middle?
Kevin Banner special. Yes. Story. For sure.
Of course he loves that shit.
I wonder how Kevin's doing.
Yeah, I hope he's all right. But for some reason I'm like, yeah, okay, sure, yeah, let's see how this guy fits into this little shit show, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. And right away, Mr. Spectacular is eliminated by somebody at this point. And this is where I wrote that I'm just really not feeling the pacing here. They're just like, bang, okay, now there's another one eliminated. And they're without any sort of real drama.
Yeah, totally.
Standoff with Tommy Dreamer and Pentagon Dark. And there, number 8, is Mariposa with a question mark? It's not the same wrestler. It's not the same wrestler.
I wonder. See, one of the problems with this show being pre-taped is that it's difficult to look this stuff up without spoilers, countering spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
But so if anybody out there wants to alert us as to what happened to the old Mariposa?
What happened to cheerleader Melissa?
And what
I feel like I still follow her on Twitter, on wrestling Twitter.
Yeah.
But I don't remember her making any sort of announcements that she had moved on, but what can you do? And I guess, again, this is just still damage control, because maybe they figure, you know, they could have just, if Mariposa never came back, would we have cared?
No, I hate to admit this, but no.
No, especially if Marty's still there, but yeah. I think they must have an idea for some sort of loose ends that they want to tie up with the two of them or something.
I guess. I mean, those characters are their IP. So, IP? Like, their intellectual property.
Thank you.
Yes, of the program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beneficial for them to keep those characters alive. But same could be said about Prince Puma.
I was just going to suggest.
Hmm.
Dr. Wagner Jr., is he intellectual property?
I don't think
that's so. That's the one thing we had talked about. The one, like, real movement I really tried to get going during our break off here, when I saw what a handsome son of a bitch Dr. Wagner Jr. is, and, like, super stylish.
Yeah.
That, hey, we love Antonio, but, man, that's the guy I wanted to be the new kind of leader of the temple. Like, class this shit up a bit.
Man, I wonder if is he just done wrestling?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's still working, just
without no
the mask. Yeah.
Probably comes out with the mask and then stands up on the turnbuckle and pulls it off.
And,
yeah,
just hear the screams, just the women screaming.
During the break, I started watching some Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
And CMLL, for the most part, I mean, it's actually very hard to sort of get into. One, because the announcers. So one of the easy things already, one episode back, I'm already talking about how Japanese wrestling is the best. But one of the cool things about watching Japanese wrestling is, like, the audience is so controlled, and they applaud and cheer at exactly the appropriate times.
Yeah.
And the announcers are also the same. They're very calculated, and you don't even have to understand the language, and you'll know when something meaningful is happening. The Lucha Libre audiences and announcers are almost the opposite, where it's just chaos all times. And the announcers are just, it's like a party, like, with the sound and all the stuff that's going on. And the announcers are just, like, just talking, feels like they're just talking to each other. And then matches are just taking place. It's like you might as well just watch them with no sound at all.
Yeah,
so it really takes away.
I had heard about like this. There was like an 8-minute like sprint involving like 6 different wrestlers that I heard was just a crazy spot fest, but was really something.
I sent that to you.
Did you? Is that what you sent me?
I'm sure I did.
Yeah.
That was awesome. That was from AAA.
Yeah.
And there's been some really interesting, man, you want to see some weird stuff, some start watching some like independent Lucha Libre. It's like just very, very bloody.
Yeah.
And like just in like. Not all of it is super bloody, but some of it is. And then some of it is like this high flying action taking place in like a tent, being watched by like 4 people. Mm-hmm. These people are like killing themselves. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. Mm. But the biggest revelation were some of the mini matches. Like just the amount of like mini wrestlers. There's a guy called Microman who is so tiny. It doesn't make sense. He's just a head and legs. He's like that old In Living Color sketch of like the head detective.
Yeah, that cop.
Yeah. He's like that. But those guys, because they have to work, I mean, they have physical limitations. They have to tell good
stories. How do you figure?
they have to tell really good stories in the ring. And they do. And the crowds then like get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So watch any Microman matches.
Good to know.
Yeah. Really interesting stuff. But for the most part, I mean, it's a little hard to get into.
Yeah. I've heard that a lot. Mm-hmm. So anyways, Mariposa.
Mariposa. Yeah. Now this could this just be... Cheerleader Melissa maybe gained
weight. I don't think so. Not the arms. She wouldn't have gained weight in the arms.
That's true.
Or in the breastal region. That was a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
Anyways, she comes in and starts throwing the kendo sticks around.
She seemed very different in the ring. She did not seem confident whoever that person was.
Nope. And she was eliminated right away by Son of Havoc.
Yeah. So, fine. And at this point, I'm beginning to get very worried.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah. This is not going great.
Nope. And Tommy Jr. brings out thumbtacks into the crowd.
That was all right.
Yeah, sure. That's what he's there for.
Yeah.
And gets driven on to them, and then he's pinned by Pentagon Dark.
Oh, man. The... thumbtack? He had a thumbtack in his elbow.
Did he?
Like, there's just so little muscle or fat there. It's just like bone and skin.
Embedded in his bone forever.
Dear God.
Yeah.
That's really rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how you will yourself to do that. That must hurt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm sure it does. I'm sure there's been many times where Mr. Dreamer has been in a lot of pain in his life.
It's nice that he pulled that out for this.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, that's what you expect when House of Hardcore, as his promotion is called.
I noticed it on his T-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go. This is a cross promotion to the max here with this budget cut.
Yeah.
Anywho, number 9, Vinny Massaro enters with a pizza joke. Matt Stryker makes a Pizzagate reference. Remember that?
Pizzagate.
Remember that?
A person fucking died.
Yeah. And everyone, oh no, almost died.
Almost died.
Came in and tried to kill somebody. It was a big joke about how there's like a pedophile ring. That's hilarious.
Oh, Boutros, golly!
Yep.
I have really mixed feelings about the pizza gig.
Yeah.
I don't care about this character at all.
Yeah, no, I know. He's just there to pop the boys and like one of the things, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it might have worked if up until this point there had been good action, right? So you can cut to like this kind of comic relief.
And we get a break. We need a breather.
Yeah. But there hadn't been great action. It just felt like elimination.
And he doesn't pay the pizza boy. It feels like the pizza boy should have done something to
him. Yeah, we're just supposed to forget about that? Maybe that's the start of Vinny Massaro's season-long arc.
God.
Will the pizza boy be paid?
You know what? You won me over. I'm into it.
Good. So, Pentagon Dark hits move onto the pizza to eliminate him, sure. And then there's that.
A lot of strength from Pentagon Dark to do that.
Yep.
Was it a package pile driver?
Yep. One of his
A man of that size.
Yep. Yeah, it looked great. Yeah, Pentagon Dark looked good in this match. As he,
what has happened to Vinny Massaro's physique?
Was it ever?
Well, you go back, you watch his when he was a jobber in season one.
Yeah.
A lot different.
Maybe he's embraced.
He was wearing a what do you call it?
Tank top, a white tank top. No, that's before what he was wearing.
Yeah.
A singlet.
Singlet. Thank you.
Yeah, I remember with the Italian flag on it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think we'll do one more here, one more entry before we go to break, because this is number 10, which was a surprise. Hernandez returns.
Yeah.
And he looked cut. He looked different. He had a new attitude. Walking down there, I'm like, all right, let's see where this guy goes. And he gets his arm broken, like, immediately by Pentagon Duck. So does that mean we don't see Hernandez for at least 5 or 6 episodes, if at all?
Or maybe he was just a one-off. Or maybe that's the premise for the next Pentagon feud. I know.
Hernandez? I don't think so.
Like, are we going to be excited?
No.
Like, I wasn't excited when Hernandez came out. I was like, huh.
Yeah. Well, I was excited to see that he looked focused and he looked better and he looked bigger. It looked like, okay, this guy looks less.
Did he look bigger?
Yes.
Like, he looked trimmer.
So. He had new tattoos. He didn't look so much as like a jobber to the stars anymore. He looked like somebody who was going to possibly be a mover and a shaker in these parts.
We'll see. Sight of Hernandez did not get me, did not calm my fears about the way this had been going up until this point.
For sure. I just thought it could have been, I don't know, from what I remember of him, he just was in the background, right, in season one. Like, I think he got involved in a couple stories.
Yeah, he showed up halfway. Really. Yeah, he showed up halfway through, maybe had like 2 or 3 matches.
Yeah, but he was just one of Big Rick's boys, wasn't he?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
No? Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. It's been a while.
All right. Well, I guess we should take a break and hear from our friends at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ring the bell.
As you guys may have noticed, I mean, we've been away for a while.
Yeah.
But we've been dropped from the ads there. I didn't hear Lucha Afterground. Did you get a memo from our bosses? Because I didn't hear anything to hear that. Are we recording this just for fun right now? Have we been dropped from the roster?
Travis, you know me. I don't do anything just for fun.
Yes, I know. yeah. So no Lucci City Nights today. I think it's dead.
We have to move on. We need something. Okay. We're not dead. It's just been retired. Yeah. We need something fresh.
Okay, cool. Well, okay. Then I'll do my brief review of Man of Arms, Art of War, Episode 1. Very quickly.
This is a program on El Rey.
El Rey Network, because we'll get the access to the screeners. Like I said, we don't have access to Season 4 yet. So I watched Episode 1 of Man of Arms, Art of War, hosted by Danny Trejo. Episode 1 is on Kung Fu, the weapons from Kung Fu. And what they do is they concentrate on two weapons in particular. Max, you are a Breath of the Wild fan. These are very similar to a couple, like one really good kind of spear kind of thing that has like a good kind of little extra little
some kind of Kung Fu spear.
And also, do you remember when you fight the Yiga clan and occasionally you'll beat a guy and you'll get like those kind of circular kind of like those were the two
like
they designed.
A circle with
a bunch of like spiky swords out of it. So they had done research on this and like looked at all the things, and the presentation is it's your standard kind of History Channel type reality show where they will cut between like these historians who are talking in a very kind of if you go back to the feudal times, you'll know that this was used. But then they'll cut to the guys who are like the actual people who are cutting or making these weapons. They're creating them from scratch.
Yeah,
and they all have this kind of tough guy. Like they're like these old like like smelters who have worked in metals forever, and they all kind of have like this kind of tough guy edge to them. Yeah. So what we're gonna do is we're going to hammer the heck out of this and get a good heat going on this before we start kind of doing
it. This sounds like it's going to be every episode.
Yeah. I think that's basically what it is.
Do they cut a dummy with it?
Yes. It all builds up to like some guy who's
how
like,
they work?
And there's lots of references to like old Kung Fu movies, which fits in with the El Rey brand. And, you know, because there's lots of like, they have a lot of shout outs to the old grindhouse, that Robert Rodriguez style. Mm-hmm. And it finishes with like some guy who's like this a master of Kung Fu weapons, even though they don't know. There's no evidence of these weapons ever being used, but they're trying to figure out how they would be used.
So they give them to a Kung Fu master.
Yeah. Or some guy who knows how to can improvise how to do these things. And they had three different dummies set up. One was just like a human skull that he first like kind of just stabs through with the thing and pulls it through. And then a really good one where just like a guy hanging, and that one you really got a good gist of how it worked. And the other one was a guy who was on a horse. So like with this, like you'd stab at him and then pull him down and then stab him with the other side of the spear. Everyone's like kind of, woo, wow. After he does this kind of like three thing, everybody watching, all the guys who had built this and stuff. I should mention all the guys who work on it, who put on these tough guy things, are either just like super scrawny nerds uber overweight people who like the... you can tell they medieval
times.
I mean, it sounds like the wrestling demographic to me.
Yep, it does. So anyways, after this Kung Fu Master did it, they give it to Danny Trejo, who's like, you know, kind of still kind of playing this.
Love him.
Yeah, but still kind of like, oh, man, yeah, that's the kind of weapon that really leaves a mark. You know, like those are his kind of comments. And after they give him a chance with the spear as well afterwards. And his spear through the skull, they added like blood. To make it a little more good. Grotesque.
So this is good for his brand.
Yeah. So that's Man of Arms, Art of War.
All right.
So we've got 10 wrestlers in the ring, continuing from where we were.
Wow.
Yeah. So here's the first time. This is after 10 wrestlers are like halfway through this match. Finally, Son of Havoc and Pentagon Dark have some nice wrestling and some nice work that finishes with Pentagon Dark hitting a lung blower to eliminate him. I mean, it was literally 5 seconds, but it was more like good, like kind of chain wrestling
The lung blower especially stands out in my mind because it was the first, it felt like the first full sequence, and then it ended with like a picture perfect, like delivery, perfect pitch, perfect sell. Yeah. Yeah. It was great. It was the best piece of wrestling so far, for sure.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's great wrestling on this show from time to time.
Yeah, man.
Anyways, number 11, Johnny Mundo, welcome back. It was good to see.
That felt great, too.
Yeah. Good to see a guy who like feels like a star.
Mm-hmm.
And then number 12, at first, there's nobody. And who did they say it was supposed to be?
Angelico.
Yeah, and then they never really explained why he wasn't there. But then Ricky Mundo shows up with a doll. So here's my theory. Is they're finally paying off those fucking pictures?
I think. I think so. I think in the final sequence of last season, he found the doll.
Maybe.
Man, we should rewatch
12 months ago.
Yeah.
Of course, the two of them start a double team on Pentagon Dark, but Ricky seems obsessed with this doll.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny Amendo eliminates him after Ricky had kind of turned on him with a pin attempt. So
yeah, I like that moment there. Johnny was like, are you crazy?
Yeah, was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
And finally, 13 is Phoenix. Yeah.
That felt good too.
Yep. Yeah, and he enters and shows up with his, there it is. There's that trademark great rope work that he does. He's killing it again. Some really good stuff there. 14, Jeremiah Crane enters with the chair. This guy's reputation
has really changed quite a bit.
Yeah, in the time since we've left, or since we last talked about him.
What is your... I suspect that a lot of it is all work. I mean, I know he smashed
Well, there was that one, yeah.
That was an accident, obviously. But
yeah.
I think that he took that and he is working it.
Yep,
and I think it's brilliant.
Yep.
Or he's just a huge asshole.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I don't think he'd. I don't think he'd still be getting work if that was the case.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There was a move onto a chair. Oh yeah, he hit Jeremiah Crane hit somebody onto or tried to hit somebody onto a chair but missed it. But it was still
that was Phoenix.
Yes. Yeah. But it wasn't a pinfall anyways, was it? I don't think so.
No, it
so
wasn't.
It's fine.
Yeah, a lot of this, even the more experienced workers, maybe it was nerves or I don't know what, but some of this stuff just was not really connecting. Mm-hmm. That miss on the chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At this point, I'm like, ooh, this is not going good.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't think so either.
Yeah.
But then number 15, one of our favorites, Mil Muertes. So I'm like, yeah, good to see you. Okay, good.
Absolutely.
As long as we have you here, that's a good base. That's a good, like, kind of your main
Katrina
brawler. And Katrina,
somehow gets more attractive.
Still, here's what I wrote, still hot AF.
I
don't know what that means, but the kids mention it from time to time.
Mil Muertes comes in and just is just wrecking
the shit out of everybody, like we love.
It was like that felt like Lucha Underground. Yeah,
here we go.
Mil is world class.
Yep,
he's world class.
Yep. One of the best,
no doubt.
But then he gets teamed up on by like everybody. Everybody kind of joined, starts working him over until we get that awesome, really unique double stomp from Phoenix onto Mil Muertes. Yeah,
that was really cool.
Really different. I've never seen it done that way.
Me neither.
Yeah. So good to see he's still trying new things. And that's, you know, that was enough to, you know, because you always got to think, oh, how are they going to get this big monster out of here? And I guess that was enough because he had been double teamed by everybody and everybody ganged up on him. So, all right, fine. Mil Muertes is gone. But we did see a little bit of dissension on the way out.
As we always do between those two, though. That's sort of par for the course for them.
But today it was kind of a little extra fun to see Katrina leave. Number 16.
Oy.
Dega. Hey, looking great.
Shocker.
Looking hot. Hot entrance.
That was
one of my old favorites.
I popped harder for Daga than I did for Tommy Dreamer.
Yeah. Looking good. Good return. With Cobra Moon at his side.
Cobra Moon, so good, man. Yeah. Love Cobra Moon. I don't know. She is just commits. Like, her... She would just be such an asset to any promotion. Just in terms of, like, what... Like, her coming out, Daga's there. It happens just for a split second, but she just sort of reaches her hand around him. It's just such a nice touch.
Yeah.
That's like, this guy's with me, but I'm in control. Or what? You know, it's just... She's so good.
Yeah. Good for her.
And I was impressed by her her performance this whole episode was fantastic.
Me too. Yeah, I think so as well. Number 17, Chavo Guerrero takes his time on the way down.
Yeah. Chavo. I mean, Chavo pops up every season and it's totally cool. No problem with it. Here he is. I'm expecting him to come in, maybe eliminate one guy, and then be eliminated, and that's the end of it. That's not what happened.
Yeah. I'm surprised it stuck around as long as that. I hope that's not a sign of things to come. I was going to ask you, what do you think about this new Jeremiah Crane thumbs up, thumbs down gimmick he mentioned twice here?
I think it's probably great for the indies. I don't know. I don't know if stuff like that is necessary for a show like this, but I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I know.
When it happened here, it was followed up, like the second time he did it, it was followed up by the Cierro Miedo. So that's fine. It's like, oh, nice try. You want to hit your catchphrase. Yeah. Don't forget, I own the catchphrase here.
Yeah.
So that was okay. I don't know. I don't think it'll get over. I don't know how long he'll stick with it. Phoenix is eliminated by Chavo. That was surprising.
Yeah, this is when I was like, what? Why Phoenix?
I know.
Like, if it was Daga, maybe? Or who else is in there at this point? Like, Chavo should have eliminated Mr. Spectacular. You know, that would have been perfect. Or Vinny. Or one of these other jabrons. But...
Yeah, Phoenix is
a top dog
star. Yeah. He's the only Grand Slam champion of...
And Chavo beat him.
And
beat him clean, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But honestly, Chavo looked great.
Yeah, he looked great.
He looked good. He was doing moves, springboard crossbody onto the floor. It was great.
He's not flat. He's blue collar, Chavo.
Right.
And it's just fine. And you need a good base, right? But if they're going to start pushing him, I don't think that's the right way to go as like a new star.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have anything to be a... There's nothing about him that screams money. Really nice little unique kind of German suplex that Johnny Mundo did to the outside, and then the end of the world to eliminate Daga. Number 18, King Cuerno, who also looks great, longer hair.
Yeah, man.
Great crossbody to enter, and then hits that trademark tope that they really kind of
Cuerno busting out the knees too, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was a V trigger party tonight. I counted at least 8.
Dude, Omega has revolutionized the scene.
Yeah, it's true. Who? Yeah, just kidding. Number 19, Dragon Azteca Jr. Crowd is not too hot at this point, but Dragon Azteca really served to pump them up. He kind of came in this sort of a kind of house on fire here. Cobra Moon then returns with Vibora and a new mask. You were mentioning
this. Did not care for the new mask at all. I think just because it frightened me.
Yeah.
The eyes are frightening.
Yeah.
So, preferred the old mask.
Yeah, I preferred the old Koopa Troopa guy whose name I can't remember now.
Beheaded.
Yeah.
Pindar.
Thank you.
No worries.
He was always
Premier.
Yeah.
Lucha Underground after show on the
And
way.
Finally, number 20, Marty the Moth Martinez.
At this point, listen, I nothing against Marty the Moth. I think very highly of him as a performer. Man, I would love, a side note, I would love to see him with some other character in some other place. Just being, like, I could see him being, like, a top villain or a top babyface. The guy.
And not necessarily, like, he doesn't have to go the creepy route. Yeah, yeah, I'd like to see him go, try to see what kind of versatility this guy has.
Absolutely. Anyways, he comes out, and at this point, I realize, I don't think this show is going, I don't think this episode is going to redeem itself.
No, or have any sort of surprises from this point on. Yeah, I felt the same way. Anyway, Vibora tombstones Johnny Mundo, so I guess Mundo is going to be feuding with the Reptile Tribe now, possibly.
That could be good. Oh, and Stryker did say when Daga and Mundo paired up, like, oh, wouldn't this be a great singles match? So that was probably seed planting for sure. Which sounds good.
Marty pins Johnny Mundo. King Cuerno eliminates Dragon Azteca Jr. So we're left with Pentagon, King Cuerno, Chavo Guerrero, and Marty the Moth Martinez. That's your final four. I like Pentagon. I really like King Cuerno. And Marty the Moth is fine.
Yeah.
But this speaks to, I think, how gutted the roster has become.
At this point, I'm like, this has to be a Cuerno victory. Like I said off the top, you're bringing out, you're going to do Aztec Warfare, you're going to bring out your champion. You can't, your champion's not going to win this for your first episode. You can't have Chavo win. That would just be too crazy.
Yes.
And Marty, I just, how is this going to happen? But Cuerno needs the push. He's back. He looks fantastic. He's wrestling like a mofo. This, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's put the belt on this guy.
But that would have been like not even a full episode of Pentagon Dark as champion. So I was still, I'm okay with the way this wrapped up.
It's funny because it feels like he's been champ for a year.
We had that one moment. Stryker and Vamp, for the most part, were pretty easy to ignore outside of the Pizzagate comment, I thought. But they did have that really kind of funny Q&A about who's the best wrestler. Who's the best wrestler?
Chavo.
Yes. It was good. It was good. They were really, really on it there, right?
That was good. Who wants it more? Yeah. Cuerno.
Like, they didn't have to think about each one.
It was really good.
That was good. It felt rehearsed, but I don't think it was. Yeah. Pentagon Dark let out a really good, woo! That did seem a little out of character.
Yeah, it did. It kind of shattered my perception of him a little bit, to be honest.
It was weird. Anyways, who hits? Who was it? I have CG written down here. Who the fuck is that? Oh, Chavo hits the gory bomb on King Cuerno to eliminate him. This is a guy all of a sudden, Chavo's getting booked like a star, which we'll see where that goes.
I know. That was messed up.
Yeah, yeah. And then Pentagon Dark eliminates Chavo. And Marty and Pentagon Dark are the final two. Thought Marty looked pretty good here. Curb stomp for a near fall. Another near fall after that. Pentagon Dark hit that nice flipping pile driver on him before hitting the package pile driver for the win. And then post-match, Pentagon just breaks another arm. Marty's arm is broken. So we've got who's Marty's arm is broken and Hernandez. Mr. Pectacular?
Or no, Hernandez. Mr. Pectacular.
It could be great. He could be our new favorite wrestler.
He has somehow already, just over the course of recording this podcast, I think he might be my favorite character this season.
He feels like a character in Punch-Out.
This is C. Gorgeous!
Man, I don't know.
Enter Antonio.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Enter Antonio. Congratulations. I'll tell you what. I don't think I went lower than 4 stars in any of the previous things, and this didn't even come close to Snowflakes. Under 3 for sure.
Yeah. Well, let's wait and see where all these characters
go. But I'm just talking about in terms of this full match here.
Yeah. No Masquerita Sagrada. No Taya. No
Cage.
No Cage. No Drago.
No Matanza.
No Aerostar.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about that mm-hmm. in the middle of this as we were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
He's still around for sure.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. And I mean, Evans and
yeah.
Direwolf.
What's really interesting is the sheer volume of Mexican wrestlers is quite staggering.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't quite get
why they're having to...
it is necessary to have somebody like Hernandez
mm-hmm.
when you could have...
Psycho Clown?
Give me Psycho Clown, man. Psycho Clown. Dude, there's a lot of very, very talented luchadors out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a whole lot of opportunity, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows what the deal is in terms of contracts and what's available. Like, because we, you know, in the previous seasons, we learned how much they were... certain talent yeah. felt kind of handcuffed to this promotion for yeah. a long time, right? So, who knows? Like, I wonder what the reputation is. I know Vampiro isn't beloved by everybody in the wrestling community. As a,
yeah.
I'm not talking about just like an individual, but as like a promoter and somebody who's booking talent. So,
very true. Wrestling is very disorganized.
Yeah, and it's a small world, right? And if you mm-hmm. F over one person, then, you know, word travels fast.
Mm-hmm.
No Sexy Star. I don't think we're ever going to see her again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I wonder, or is Eva Lee still in the roster?
Oh, yeah.
I hope so. I'd like to see her again.
Totally.
I like her face.
Yeah.
Anyways, Antonio enters and says, congratulations.
Hey, wait. What about
Post-match?
Black Lotus?
Ah.
Didn't she show up at the end and break and do something to Dragon Azteca Jr.?
Yeah, they have a history. I feel like she did show up in that last season, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we'll see her again.
Maybe it's just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw Rey Mysterio Jr. going to Matanza's cage in the last... That's all we saw of Rey in the last episode.
So I don't think...
Ray's done. Right? No. You saw Ray a week ago, buddy, in New Japan.
But he can wrestle other places.
But no, he's not. He's not Lucha Underground anymore.
Error.
Antonio says, "I'm a better promoter than he ever was." So he's like, so he says, "Next week will be Pentagon Dark versus my only son."
I like
Matanza. That was a nice touch. Overall, this episode just never really grabbed me. Outside of a few moments and that really good opening with the funeral, it just had no room to breathe. And I think this is just really just, as I said, damage control, but just felt like exposition for season 4.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. What do you think about this idea? I had this idea halfway
mm-hmm,
through.
Mm-hmm.
When there was... You start a season with something like Aztec Warfare... And then you have all these weird things happen throughout it, like doors open and nobody's there. Ricky Mundo comes out with a doll. You're like, what's this doll? You know, people are acting out a character. And then, every episode before that, after that, shows what happened to these wrestlers right before they went into the... A thing.
Hey, that would be amazing.
Yeah, right?
But that is way too ambitious. I love it. Yeah, like, I'll do like a memento kind of thing.
Yeah.
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 I'd love that. Of course I'd love that. Any sort of unique type of storytelling in wrestling?
That'll be huge.
This is great. You know who we didn't even fucking mention, dude?
Well, you're swearing a lot.
Sorry. Max doesn't drink during the week, so I had to finish. Usually I bring one beer, one tall beer over that we share. But I had to do it all by myself.
Sorry.
Is Drago, dude.
I already said that.
Did you say Drago?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You sure it wasn't Daga?
I said Drago.
All right.
Oh, my
God. I don't remember. I remember we talked about Aerostar.
Dark Arts, my friend.
I said the name.
And he's still involved with Impact, so you got to imagine that. Because you're starting to see all that Lucha Underground talent showing up on Impact. It seems mm-hmm. like they've changed whatever these contract
stipulations were that they had. Sure. So if he's there, then that means he should be showing up. How funny was it to see him? Like, I'm sure you saw, did I send you pictures of this when he was showing up at Impact wearing a t-shirt?
Oh, God. Drago's Instagram or Twitter is amazing.
Yeah.
Seeing very strange things all the time there. Well, that's it. How can people find us on social
media? Yeah, we're still there. Yeah. On Twitter, at @Lucha_AfterGrund.
If you've been watching this, if you've been listening to this podcast for an hour and 6 minutes.
Wow, I'm surprised we went as long as we did.
Talk about two jabrones talking about that episode of Lucha Afterground, you better
Underground.
You better fucking follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, give us a follow. We could use some boosts here, guys. Tell your friends.
It's
good to be back, though.
It is, it is.
Good to see you guys. Good to talk to you. Bobby C, how you doing?
We'll be here next week.
The question is, will you join us?